You're listening to the Christmas episode.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
That's the Christmas song that comes to your mind.
That is true. That was not so good.
Not like, oh,
it came upon a midnight clear.
Mary, did you know?
Wow. Singing is not our strength. And you're like coughing. No. You got the plague. It's not a good day. So this is releasing on Christmas. I wonder how many people are actually listening. This is for so many. For tens of thousands of church planners, this is their Christmas present this morning. So Merry Christmas to you.
Yes. You know, wake up, cook French toast, exactly. Get some bacon on the grill while listening to the podcast. What better way to start the morning?
That's exactly.
On Christmas. No, likely this is, you know, in the afternoon or the day after. In Canada, it's on Boxing Day on the 26th, where maybe many people, while waiting in lines, they'll be listening to this episode.
But, yeah, Boxing Day, which everyone thinks has to do with boxing back your stuff and returning it. So
no, now Canadians go shopping on December 26th.
Exactly. So whereas Boxing Day, you have to tell them what is Boxing Day, because, you know, most Americans and lots of other people are listening. So what is it? Because it actually came from the UK. Do you know?
Yeah, it was it was like a day off.
Yeah, but for what purpose?
It was for servants and the day when they received a Christmas box from their master, according to thespruce.com.
Yeah, well, there are different debates about this, but yeah.
Yes. The servants would also go home on Boxing Day.
Did you Google that? Did you Google that when I asked you? Be honest. Did you Google that when I asked?
Of course I did. Okay. Because to most Canadians, Boxing Day is really a day of deals.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Black Friday in the U.S.
Exactly. But now Black Friday has infiltrated into Canada, and it's just a perennial, you know, sale from Boxing Day to Black Friday to Boxing Day.
We're not saying that American values have infiltrated Canada, because we don't want to get the Canadians. We know you define yourselves as being not Americans. And so,
but they have infiltrated.
There you go. Okay. Fair enough. Well, you've infiltrated the U.S. from Canada. So I don't know that anyway. But most importantly, it's also St. Stephen's Day. So let's not all secular this up. So St. Stephen's Day. So
secular this up. That's awesome.
Exactly.
All right. So we are not going to, if you're still listening, we are not going to, for the entire episode, talk about Christmas facts and all that. We're actually going to address a really pertinent question to everyone who came on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day at your church, right? Because December 24th was Sunday. And what are you doing at Moody Church, Christ Fellowship, you know, the three churches that you're teaching, Pastor Brad? It'd be interesting to know, how did you guys deal with that? Christmas Eve being on a Sunday, what did you do for your services?
Well, of course, we'll be at Moody Church. We'll do both Christmas because of, you know, it is a weird, you know, I don't know. It's not that weird. I guess it happens not every 7 years, but the idea
that would have been really impressive.
Well, doesn't it like move the around frequency. More? It's not just a frequency. So it's kind of weird, because my daughter was born on Father's Day. And so we thought that like that would be every 7 years she'd be on Father's Day. And we've been very disappointed to know that it doesn't always work that way. Yeah. But you know, in our case with and particularly when it falls on a time that really works well, you know, it gets controversial when, like, you know, people like cancel services for or don't have services because the holiday falls at a weird time. But this time for us, we'll have both Sunday morning services and Christmas Eve services. So we'll have two services on the 24th. We don't have a service on the 25th, though many different traditions do, and we don't want mail and letters telling us we should. So anyway, that's kind of what it works.
Yeah, because we are recording this a few weeks before that, so this is why we're talking about it in the future sense. Our church ended up, you know, we're just going to be doing our morning services at both of our campuses. We're going to do two services at our one campus that does typically one service, so we're expanding it. And then at our other campus, we'll do a morning and we'll do an afternoon as well. But we're not going to do any candlelight or Christmas Day services. Yeah, but today's question is really, I mean, that was just more of an informative thing, but today's question is really, how do you engage? That was,
but okay.
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, most churches and most pastors have had this conversation and have been having this conversation for the last couple months. But today's question is really how to address everyone who just came. Right. So all the newcomers and the church hoppers and the visitor and, you know, the Christmas Eve, Easter, other, the CEO Christians. I mean, all those people that just came, how do you get them more plugged in? So let's listen to Kenny's question and we'll get into it.
What's the best way to engage new visitors and or I guess maybe church hoppers? Not that that's a healthy habit, but to hopefully get them plugged into church, make them feel more welcome, make them feel like they can belong, can be part of the church, just maybe through your already existing congregation or just practices and steps to have within the church itself.
Now, I'm glad Kenny brought up the word belong, because in the last chapter of my book, No Silver Bullets, Ding. I talk about the idea of, thanks, Ed, I talk about the idea of your discipleship pathway, right? How do you create your discipleship pathway? And one of the things that I actually encourage my readers to do is to not just think about their average weekly attendance or their membership roster, but to take an average of their Christmas or Christmas Eve, Easter, and Mother's Day attendance Sundays, which are typically the largest ones, and to actually do an average of that to identify what their total reach is as a congregation. Now, the reason I advocate for that is because all the people that just came to your service yesterday or today, the ones that really only come Christmas, Easter, and other holidays, they, a lot of them will actually still see themselves as a part of your church. So when someone asks them, hey, what church do you go to? Or do you go to church? They'll be like, oh yeah, well that church, I mean, this is my church. Now, when they press in and be like, oh, how often you go and all, you know, then commitments will begin waning there. But to a lot of the people that are always there on Christmas, I mean, in their mind, you are their church. So instead of seeing them as full outsiders, or instead of seeing them as you know, I'd really put them in a different category than those who have never stepped foot into your church, right? Because there's a different way to reach them than they are those who just have no awareness of your church at all.
Yeah, I think so. And I do think there's levels of interest and response.
Yeah.
But the picture that you see is really, you have to have a plan here. Now again, you can, if this is the day after and you haven't had that plan, you can start the plan right now. And so part of that is I would right now, I would sit down and I would handwrite a letter to everybody who visited. I would right now sit down and I would call or ask somebody to call everybody who visited. And so, and then tomorrow I would, again, we're talking about this is the day after Christmas, but then tomorrow I would sit down and type a letter and send that out a couple days later. So it gets there probably around maybe Friday or Saturday. So you've got then a phone call, you've got a hand address letter, you've got a typed letter, kind of the official thank you letter. And then I would either have you or somebody call them on Saturday and invite them back to church next week as well. So I'm creating a pattern of at least four touches, if you will, to reach out and say to people, we really want you to come. We want you to be here. So now again, you say, well, Ed, won't that freak people out? Not at all. Here's why I won't freak people out. Because if they filled out the card, they are expecting a contact. So if they've not filled out a card, then you don't call them. I mean, so if you go to the mall and you like fill out a form, and on that form it says, you know, you're going to win a free gym membership or whatever, you don't fill it out thinking, oh, no one will ever contact me. You know, I mean, everybody knows you're going to get called. Yeah. So every time someone fills out a card at your church and you don't follow that up, you're actually saying, hey, we got your name and address. You gave it to us and we didn't do anything with it. Mm-hmm. So of course, now we don't know if people actually filled out a card at your church. So if you don't have that process or practice, you know, fill out a card or have like a register that you pass by. That's what we do at, you know, a High Point at Moody. We have cards at Christ Fellowship. We ask specifically if you're a guest to fill out and go by our welcome center. So, but if you haven't done those things. You don't have any names, but you got to get some so that in getting some, you can actually have a group to follow up. So I think that's the key. Yeah. We're talking about developing patterns of follow-up, and I like to say, don't waste your bump. You know, you want to bump in attendance, and so don't waste it because you didn't follow up, you didn't ask people, you didn't talk to people, and more.
Yeah, so when you do get those cards, sometimes when you do bring them to the info center or the welcome desk or whatever the desk is, and you're not, it's one thing if you put them in the offering basket, but if there's someone who's actually going to be receiving those welcome cards, one thing that I would highly encourage you to train your volunteers in is to somehow not just receive the card and give the person the gift, but talk to them, try to uncover some sort of personal information about them. Maybe they have a dog, or they live in the area, or they just moved, or just something, some sort of personal note, and have your volunteer write that personal note on the card that they are submitting. The reason I share that is because when you get a form letter or a generic mailer or a card or whatnot, and it's just, you know, that this is the same message that's going out to everyone, it doesn't touch you as much as, let's say, in that card someone said, hey, there's a high level of personalization, right? So it's like, hey, I hope you enjoyed. Let's say the person said that they love dogs, right? So you say, I hope you enjoyed visiting us.
You're creeping me out with the dog thing.
No, I'm serious.
Something else other than the dog thing?
No, I'm serious here. So you say, hey, I hope you enjoyed visiting us this Sunday.
I love your dogs. Anyway.
No. I know your dog was probably lonely with you not being there.
Oh, my gosh. And do not listen to Daniel. Do not write that in a card.
No. So the reason I'm saying that is because they're like, oh, wait, how did they... Oh yeah, they were listening to that, and you do it in a joking. I mean, yeah, dog. Okay, you joking manner, right? Or hey, you just moved into the neighborhood. You said, hey, I love where I love that neighborhood. Have you checked out this restaurant by you?
Much better.
Right, so something like that. So if you personalize it, there's this next level of, oh wait, instead of just throwing this out or seeing it as a form letter, you're like, oh, they actually cared, and it causes people to do a double take.
Yeah. Don't write people about their dog. Let's move on from
that. Are you a cat person?
No, I didn't. I hate my dog anyway. So I got the dog. I don't like him at all. What I would say is I think that is good. I think you're taking it to another level by doing that in a way that for many people, I'm just trying to get people to write cards, but I love that. Now, I mentioned, it's funny because, the three churches I'm connected to in some way, Moody Church, we have people fill out a card. At High Point, we pass the register and people sign in. And at Christ Fellowship, we ask guests to go to the Welcome Center and fill that out. So they're all three different. I mean, do you do one of those at the Fellowship, or what do you do at your church, or what other ways have you seen to get that information?
Yeah. I mean, there are some churches that try to get everyone to fill it out every single week. So, right. I think that's a Saddleback thing.
I like that. I don't know if that's still what I like.
No. I mean, it's a lot of paper, a lot of processing, right? But you're right. It does get everyone.
But yeah, be with their prayer requests. I'm sure there's
a higher level. Yeah. Exactly. So what we actually do is we'll have a gift. So we try to incentivize and say, bring it to our info center, and then there'll be the personal interaction and all that. And then what happens is the person carrying around the gift, we then have greeters and volunteers and church members who notice those people and go talk to them. So they have several touch points. Because they're kind of sticking out when you can't really put a cup in your bag.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So you give them something that people can see. This sounds creepy. Yes, guest is going to listen and say, this is really weird.
That's why they do that.
Exactly. So you give them something large enough that people can see that they're guests.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Now, the last thing that I'd say before we wrap things up is, and obviously this is not going to be useful for Christmas because today is Christmas. If you're listening to when we release this episode, but think about to Easter, right? As you're coming up to Easter, how can you actually identify those in your church that really have only come? I mean, the last time they came was Christmas, right? Or the last time they came was last Easter. How do you actually prepare them for Easter in a way that's different than your congregation?
So you're basically saying, certain mailers, if you blew it this year, here's what you can do for Easter.
Right? Because a lot of times we think post, right? We're like, they identified themselves, but you have a membership roster likely of a lot of people who are inactive. right? What are ways that you can actually engage with them so that they will come on Easter, so that you have the opportunity to follow up with them again afterwards? So just some food for thought in the upcoming months as we prepare for Easter. All right, well, thanks again for listening in, and be sure to catch us next time.